today we are talking access to diabetes care. 2 days ago, it was World Diabetes Day, and the theme for this year was access to diabetes care. And I decided that we should have the conversation on diabetes again, even though in time past, we've been having conversations about it. So we're going to basically, you know, do a recap on the types of diabetes, the causes, the treatment. But at the tail end, I think we'll focus more on access to diabetes care. I have with me a member of the Diabetes Association of Nigeria here in River State, who is also a chemical pathologist. Dr. Hamilton Opurum is in the studio. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
The last time you were here, that was in the month of September, and we talked about low blood sugar.
Yeah, hypoglycemia.
Hypoglycemia, anyway. So today, we're talking diabetes again. I don't think if you give us an entire year, we'll be able to cover all that there is to it. But the fact that some people have it and they are still not aware, and those that are aware are finding it difficult to access the care that they need, I think is a cause for concern. And surprisingly, some children even have diabetes, and I wonder how, you know, all of that is being tackled. So where do we begin? I think we should begin from the very beginning. It may sound like, why is she asking this question again? For someone who still does not understand or know what diabetes is, it would be a good thing to start from there. What indeed is diabetes?
Thank you very much. Okay. I deeply appreciate this opportunity to discuss diabetes. Diabetes is actually of the fastest growing non-communicable disease all over the world. And so many millions of persons are affected.
Like how many million?
It's difficult to say because a lot of people are undiagnosed.
Oh, okay, yeah. You know, that's true.
Whatever figures we throw out are just projections.
Speculations.
So it's difficult to say. But because of the way a lot of people are becoming diabetic, a lot of things that were known 10, 20 years ago are beginning to change. And, you know, we have to keep talking about diabetes because of this.
Okay, so what is diabetes?
Well, diabetes is a disease condition where the blood sugar level rises above the normal range, or the normal the healthy person should be. There are so many reasons why it happens, and the unfortunate thing is that the high level of blood sugar causes a lot of complications, affects so many organs in the body, so a lot of people begin to lose their sight, begin to have so many problems with the heart, kidneys, and all that. And you know, that's why it's such a difficult condition to talk about, because it touches so many organs in the body and people are suffering without. A lot of times you spend so much money, now that things are really
expensive. I read a report about how pharmaceutical products are on the increase, and the fact that sometimes you even have to rely on imported drugs here in Nigeria.
Yes, we've always relied on imported drugs. For you to make a diagnosis, you need test kits. Most of these are imported. They're also very expensive. In fact, the simple glucometer that people encourage people to carry around to test themselves, the test strips, they were sold for about 3,500 last year, are going for about 13,000 now.
Whoa.
So that is it, besides the drugs. So, talking about diabetes, the World Diabetes Day was celebrated 2 days ago, November 14th. Is a reminder that about 100 years ago, Professor Banting and others found out that you could use insulin to treat people with diabetes. Prior to that, once you're diagnosed of diabetes, you know that you start writing your will. you know, and they found out that with insulin, you could manage persons with diabetes. As of 14th November, is actually his birthday, and so the whole world tried to stand up and recognize that contribution, you know, that it has saved the lives of millions of persons.
Ah, interesting. Okay, so I think we should ask what causes diabetes?
Well, there are so many reasons why people develop diabetes. And we've tried to group them in types.
Mm.
You know, there are so many types, but we could look at 3 or 4 basic ones.
Mm.
You know, because of the audience, we're talking the mixed audience, mm-hmm, generally, mm-hmm. So people need to know the few basic things. We have the type 1 diabetes, which is insulin-dependent diabetes. For these persons, some immunological damage occurs to the pancreas. The pancreas is an organ in the body which produces insulin.
Mm.
Once you eat carbohydrate-based food, and the food digests, as it's digesting, it triggers the release of insulin.
Mm.
Insulin helps the body absorb, allows the glucose to enter into cells, mm. the liver, organs, where the glucose can be broken down for energy. Without insulin, the glucose will remain in the blood. Remain in the blood, it will combine with the blood cells, attached to nerves and so many things, damage the kidney, the liver, and all those things. So it's important that insulin is there in the right amount at the time the glucose, because once you eat carbohydrate, it will be broken down to the level of glucose so that it can enter the cells where it can be utilized. So if insulin is not there, it will not enter into the cells. It remains there. And remain in the bloodstream, it will just move around and attach to different proteins, blood cells, and other things. So this complex is not easily moved out of the body. Mm. So they cause a lot of damage. So because of that, we look at, so the type 1 are persons where the body has the pancreas is damaged, cannot produce insulin.
Insulin, okay.
So they must depend on external infusion of insulin.
Mm.
And insulin now, 2-3 years ago, it was about close to 10,000 per vial. I wonder what it is now. Probably about 20,000 per vial. And for those who need it, they need a lot of money to keep going. Now, I have the type 2 diabetes, which is more popular because it used to be referred to as adult onset. The type 1 was more common among younger persons.
Okay.
You know, the type 2, which comes up when people are much older. But now, those patterns are changing. Even younger persons are getting type 2 diabetes. And this one was more linked to lifestyle. And that's the one we talk about more because of the, he said that it has a genetic component, that you inherit these defects.
Mm.
So at certain age, love, if your mother or your father had diabetes, or your grandparents had diabetes, the chances are higher that you could have it. It's also more common in certain races, like the blacks, you know. And lifestyle is also a contributory factor. Obesity and all those things. So that's a lot of people talk about. We want to educate people that if you change your lifestyle, you could delay the onset of diabetes and also see how you can enhance your management and you can cope with it so that you can delay the onset of complications.
Hmm.
Now you have the type 3, which is, of course, these ones are more research findings. But the other one that is more common is the GDM, gestational diabetes.
Hmm.
Which occurs in pregnant women. Due to hormonal changes in pregnancy, some people may develop hyperglycemia.
Mm.
They may go on to become diabetic.
Wow.
But for most of them, after the pregnancy is resolved, they get to becoming normal. But if they watch their diet and a lifestyle, they may never develop diabetes. Mm. But you can never say. Some people eventually, after some years, also become diabetic.
Mm.
So, having covered this kind of spectrum, you see that every one of us is at risk.
Mm.
You know, there's a recent one talked about, which is type 4, where it's more common in elderly people who are not obese. You know, I say, but this man is slim now. How come, or this woman is slim? How come he or she is developing diabetes? So it's a new pattern that, you know, doctors and scientists are seeing, and we need to talk about them. But the important thing is that we need to inculcate the habit, or cultivate the habit of going to the hospital once in a while to check up on ourselves, especially when you feel you don't feel very right, you go to the hospital. There are not things that you rely on a self-diagnosis.
Mm.
You need the experts to help you identify what the problem is and, you know, manage it better.
Hmm. So you said everybody is at risk now, because I was going to ask who is really at risk of diabetes, because, you know, sometimes it seems like some people get lucky. Forgive me, but before now, when we hear diabetes, we feel like, only those people that like to consume sugar a lot. I mean, you see somebody who takes, like, how many bottles of sweetened or carbonated beverage, and you say, if you're not careful, you're going to get diabetes. And then sometimes it turns out that maybe the person is lucky, and in the person's lifetime, after consuming all the consumables, never gets diabetes. And someone who, you know, seemingly lives a healthier lifestyle for some reason. I know you have mentioned genetics, though, but, I mean, who exactly is at risk? I know all of us are, but who are those people we should pay special attention?
You know why I said everybody's at risk? Besides the genetic thing and, you know, the lifestyle we're talking about, people should keep fit and moderate what they eat, and especially reduce refined sugars. You know, refined sugars are a major problem.
Mm.
You know, and if you eat normal of our homemade foods, kind of, you know, it comes with certain rough edges and all that. Before your body will break them down and extract the sugar, the glucose, and it will take its process. But these other ones, the moment, just like soft drinks that have a lot of sugar in them, and other, you know, things that people eat with so much sugar and all that. So once it is not going through that deep process of digestion and all that, the sugar is just there readily available for absorption. And the challenge is the body system, you know, and you keep producing so much insulin to cope with the challenge of the sugar available, it will get to a point where, you know, the body begins to struggle. And now the interesting thing about the type 2 is that it's not that your body is not producing insulin, but that it is not utilizing the insulin very well. Sometimes the receptors that should allow the insulin to get in, allow the glucose to get in, fail to respond very well. So you're producing insulin, but it is not very effective. And that is a major source of concern.
Hmm.
I've been reading some papers recently in the past 20 years. Some people have done a lot of research on air pollution, and, you know, and found that rats, humans, and all that who are living in highly polluted environments tend to develop pre-diabetes and diabetes.
Hmm.
You know, some of these people never had any genetic undertones. No family member had diabetes, but eventually they became diabetic. So that is a source of worry for people, because in most countries there's a high level of pollution, air pollution, and it is troublesome.
Okay, We'll go into the symptoms of some of these types of diabetes and then possible treatment, and then I'm sure we'll be able to delve into what the access to diabetes care is like currently in Nigeria. We need to go on a commercial break, and when we come back, the conversation continues. You can join the conversation. We're live on Facebook and Twitter at Nigeria Info PH on Twitter, and Facebook page is Nigeria Info 92.38. Give the phone numbers handy, because shortly I'll be opening the phone lines, and I'll have you join us in the studio with your take or your question. 0817 923 0002 0817 923 0003. Again, 0817 923 0002 and 0817 923 0003. You can also start sending in your WhatsApp messages. WhatsApp and Telegram number is 0809 030 6416. Again, 0809 030 6416. It's still Mind, Body and Soul on the Sunny Side, and we're talking access to diabetes care. I still have Dr. Hamilton Oparum here with me, a member Diabetes Association of Nigeria. Do stay tuned to us.
It's natural to have different ideologies. We tend to see things from different perspectives. So share your views on the Sunny Side as we make room for philosophical, ethical, and thought-provoking discussions. The Sunny Side, 12 noon to 3 p.m., Monday to Friday, on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, welcome back to the Sunny Side. We're still talking access to diabetes care, and I still have Dr. Hamilton at Upper Room in the studio with us. Now, over to you, Dr. Hamilton. The symptoms of the different types of diabetes.
Yes, the symptoms are, the very basic symptoms are like feeling very thirsty, you drink a lot of water, you pass a lot of urine, you know, and, you know, in the past, you say, test the urine. Diabetes mellitus actually means sweet urine. The person begins to pass a lot of glucose in the urine because it will not be utilized for energy, and then people feel weak. But interestingly, not everybody may present with these classical symptoms.
Okay.
So some people never know. They may have complain about sight problems, and they go to the optician and say, okay, go and check your blood sugar first, and go and check and find out the blood sugar has been up. You know, some persons may begin to have injuries that are failing to heal. You know, foot ulcers and all that. So different people present different things, but you know, a lot of persons start with polydipsia, polyuria and all that. So those are issues, you know. Now, the common symptom is that the blood sugar level goes up. And a lot of times, to bring down the blood sugar, which is treating the symptom, is you now need, it's okay, what is really the problem? What's causing the blood sugar to be up? So you start with certain drugs, the ones that are commonly known. There's like glucophage, or diodil, these are trade names anyway. Metronidazole and all that. Diodil and glucophage, which are already very commonly known. But the issue is that there are some persons, the mode of treatment is changing. You know, some experts say that it might be better to even start using insulin to control it, and then you maintain with these other drugs. So those are left to the, see, I try not to talk about treatment so much so that people don't begin to treat
yourself
themselves.
Medicate, yeah.
So it's better you're talking to your expert, go to the clinic, you confirm the diagnosis and place you on the right medication. What is very important about the treatment is that it is closely monitored. When you meet the experts, they need to closely monitor your treatment. Otherwise, some people will have hypoglycemia, like we discussed the other time, who could kill very fast. You know, so the endocrinologists, who are the experts in treating diabetes, who take the time to titrate the treatment. That is, give the treatment and test. Give and test and monitor it to make sure that the blood sugar level is not coming down and the dosage that is given to you is keeping it at a safe level so that your blood sugar is within a safe level that you're not going to have any issues, and then monitor the progress over time. So it is not a one-time thing, as I'll talk more about management, because it's a continuous process. And that is where the other challenges come in. The cost of maintaining these treatments and the cost of regularly monitoring yourself. You know, you need to monitor, test your blood sugar every day. Or if you're fairly stable, then you may test maybe 3 times a week, you know. But if you begin to notice certain changes, then you must see a doctor besides testing yourself, because that will save you a lot of agony. Yes.
Okay. Moving on. I think at this point we can open the phone lines so that the listener can start calling in. 0817 923 0002 0817 923 0003. Again, 0817 923 0002 and 0817 923 0003. WhatsApp and Telegram number remains 0809 0306 416 0809 0306 416. Send us a message on X at Nigeria Info page is our X handle, and Facebook page remains Nigeria Info 92.3 page. So let's move on to the access, okay? Access to diabetes care. What's it been like in time past, and what is it like currently?
It has always been a challenge. Access, you have to look at it in different ways. I'll choose to talk about diabetes association and how we're promoting access to care.
Okay.
First of all, people need to know that they have a problem to seek access. So that's why we come in, want to create a lot of awareness about it, you know, and help educate those who already know that they're diabetic to keep doing what is right. Then when you know that you have a problem and you've gone to the clinic, I know that, which clinic do you go to? It's not every doctor who is equipped to treat people with diabetes.
Okay.
You know, the endocrinologists have been well trained to manage this. So if we go to a general practitioner, the best is that it will recommend or refer you to the experts who will handle the matter much better. Okay, and then having access to the drugs, like we have said earlier on, these drugs are all becoming very expensive. So how do you keep at that? And if you know that most of the persons who are diabetic right now, especially the type 2 diabetics, are much older persons. A lot of them have retired from work, you know, and they're having these issues. So cash flow is a big problem. Children who have type 1 diabetes, a lot of times we're doing fundraising. I praise Professor Jaja in pediatrics unit in BPTH. She's done a lot of support programs to help children raise, you know, the required resources. We reach out to people to donate this. So some kind persons donate insulin, some, you know, other facilities, and to help them access it, because it's a major challenge to the patients. The families are drained, especially the children who have to live on insulin. And where do you get the resources? Imagine how much it takes in 1 month to sustain a child who has to depend on insulin every day to live. You know, and when they are not getting it regularly, a lot of them develop certain complications, heart problems and all that. And, you know, some have to do dialysis very often because their kidneys have been affected.
Mm.
You know, for the adults as well, like I said, a lot of them are old people who have retired and all that and living on very little at this age. So with a challenge like this, it takes a lot to keep them healthy, to prevent, to avoid any complications arising from the diabetes. Mm. So it is a major challenge. And what the Diabetes Association has been doing is advocating to government to see if there can be a waiver for those who import these drugs so that the prices can go down a bit.
Mm.
And corporate bodies to see if they can find a way to support the Diabetes Associations to provide these drugs or facilities that will help people who are diabetic.
Mm.
You know, so we do a lot of advocacy to very important persons, and one that also works so well with us is networking. I'm here today because you invited me to come and talk here, so we're creating awareness. Mm. Otherwise, if I had to pay for this slot to share this information, I may not be able to afford it.
Mm.
You know, so reaching out to corporate bodies and individuals that provide provide access to certain facilities that can help us educate people, and some people who are kind and generous enough, or maybe they have the resources to support these programs. Like we've had support from the Senator Lee Mebad Foundation, you know, to support, which has been supporting the diabetes program. You know, so the Diabetes Association of River State has benefited from that foundation over the past 5 years or thereabouts or more. And you know, we're very grateful to people who reach out to help others in that manner. And we know that others can do that. We also network with religious bodies, social groups, cultural groups, to create avenues to reach out to people. You know, they have gatherings, we can go there and educate people and create more awareness about this problem. Because when people know what the problem they have is, they'll make better
choices and decisions.
So
yeah.
That way, when people know that this is a problem, and they begin to seek the right solution to their problems.
Okay. My message here says, this one is from Obamadu Ukeji. Why do we have more diabetic people in modern times than we had in the 70s when our parents and grandparents ate gari, fufu, and yam morning and night? I was going to ask, you know, sometimes people think or they say that dieting is a part of it. And I mean, look at the inflation situation. A lot of people will rely more on carbohydrates these days to survive. And it's not about nutrition or balanced diet anymore. It's about mebele fufu first.
Okay. There's one other thing that we forget. We've been sitting here for close to 1 hour.
Mm.
And those days, a lot of people just go to the farm.
Mm.
You walk to the farm, you're in the farm, they are walking. Even if you have to rest for a few minutes and you continue walking, you walk all day and trek back home. It looked like hard work, but it was a lot of physical activity because it aligned more with our nature as human beings.
Mm.
You know, we're not used to staying in one place and sitting down. In recent times, a lot of us sit down in one place, you know, for hours. You go to the office, you're sitting down all day. You go home, you sit down. By the time you're tired, you just go and lie down and get up. So very little exercise, very little physical work. We're doing a lot of mental work, but sitting in one place. And all of this is not helping you because your body is not utilizing a lot of what you eat.
Mm.
So you just stay in there. And besides, in recent times, we eat more of refined sugars, which we didn't have access to. In the old days, diabetes was referred to as big man sickness. Because it was, the poor man didn't have any business with
it's
that.
It's all of those things, yeah.
But now everybody is wanting to up their standard and, you know, go to the fast foods, go and eat all kinds of things, a lot of sugary foods and all that. And you want to feel good that, yes, I belong to this class, I go out and I do this, you know. So a lot of these things, if we don't, if we're not mindful of what we are eating and how we are using our body. A lot of us drive to work, come out, enter the office, you come back, so you don't do any trekking. Physical activity is just at the barest minimum, and that is not good. You know, so those are a lot of things we're doing now that were not done in the 60s and 70s that sets us apart. You could see that we are now developing disease patterns that were common in the Western world.
Hmm.
We have adopted them. Yes.
Someone is asking, can bitter leaf or bitter cola help in preventing or managing diabetes? Please, what are the early signs of diabetes? Or a man send that in.
I don't know. Let me put it bluntly, I do not know. You know, a lot of people say certain things, but the issue is that if you say this is going to cure or prevent something, what is the mechanism?
Mm.
You have to understand how it's going to affect that cure or that prevention that you are talking about. I haven't done any research in that aspect to see or confirm that this is possible.
All right, then. Once again, 0817-923-0002, 0817-923-0003. Again, 0817-923-0002 and 0817-923-0003. Dr. Hamilton, do people get to a point where they become, I mean, for someone who has had diabetes before, can they receive treatment and get to a point where they are declared diabetes-free?
Well, like we said, I have somebody I love and respect so much. He's been diabetic since the 70s.
Hmm.
But I know in recent times, he just uses his diet to manage his condition.
Okay.
And that comes with a lot of self-discipline, a lot of hard work.
Mm.
Because he moderates what he eats and takes every precaution. In fact, he set up the Diabetes Association,
okay,
reversed it, and he has been our mentor and guide. So when we discuss, the whole idea is we want to learn from such persons or what they have done. You know, everything borders on self-discipline. If you discipline yourself and moderate what you eat, moderate your exercise, use your drugs. Use these drugs for a while, for so many years, until following all the advice and following every, you know, instruction that the doctors gave him and everything, he got to the level that he stabilized himself. So when we use, HbA1c, besides the blood sugar test to test, you see that the HbA1c test gives us an idea of what the blood sugar level has been over a 3-month period as a lifespan of the blood cell. So it gives us an idea what your sugar control has been over a period. And when he tests with that, you see very good results. It means that there's a lot of consistency. On the other hand, we have people who will take their drugs this month, will skip for another month or two.
Mm.
You know, so there are so many things people do. And some people are in a hurry to get relief.
Mm.
You can be treating that somebody comes and says, come and take this thing, I have this preparation, if you take it, you'll be okay, and you will abandon your treatment. You go and test that. By the time you realize what is happening, your blood sugar is over 10 and climbing, then you want to rush back to go and take this, you know. And so that's the thing. Whatever you're doing, is once you find that this is working well with you, if you moderate your diet, a little exercise, and you see that your blood sugar level is getting under good control, you keep at it. You know, and that's why we meet regularly every month to, evaluate ourselves and talk to everybody and see how well people are doing so that we can encourage them to continue doing that. A lot of people fall because they are looking for a quick fix. One thing that will just cure it overnight. And when it fails, you know, they may have been drained of resources and they can't go back to go and get their drugs and all kinds of things. Before you know, they're having complications.
All right, someone is... Okay, the person that asked the question said the early signs. I think the person is particular about the early signs of diabetes.
Well, the early signs, they find that by the time you begin to see significant signs, the levels may have been high for quite some time. You know, in fact, sometimes you say that by the time you check your blood sugar now, it probably has been up for almost a year without your knowing. You know, some people may begin to pee a lot in the night, you know, and when they eat, they just feel weak. Feel very thirsty because they are losing a lot of water. If you're very thirsty, you know. So those are basic classical signs that anybody could have. But like I said, some people may not show that those classical signs, or may not even identify them.
All right. Good afternoon, Denise, and the doctor in the house. Please, I'm not very comfortable with the response of your guest that he doesn't know if bitter leaf and bitter cola can cure or help in diabetes. This is because they should actually research into this to see if it works and just giving us a vague response that he doesn't know.
Thank you very much. Let me apologize for that if you and plead that you don't take it the wrong way. Part of the mandate of the Diabetes Association, like what exists in other countries, is that Diabetes Association could raise funds through well-meaning people to finance research. Unfortunately, in our environment here, there's very little support for research. You know, and if the Diabetes Association here could raise funds through corporate bodies and other foundations and all that, and we could encourage people to do research in those areas. You know, doing research to determine whether these things are curative or not is not just like a simple undergraduate research. It's a very complex and detailed thing, because you must extract the active ingredients from these vegetables or kola nut and pass it through a process. So if you say kola nut will cure diabetes, what in kola nut is
curing the diabetes,
and how is it curing it? If you say bitter leaf is curing, what component, what phytochemical in the bitter leaf is having this? If you identify that, I'll become a millionaire overnight. You know why? Once you identify this, you will extract it, and they can now go and produce that active ingredient and now use it as a drug. And people will take. So it's not eating bitter leaf and drinking.
It's the same thing. And I remember when COVID-19 came and a lot of people were, you know, asking for vaccines and all of that. And people came and said, this one cures. But then again, it had to be subject to research. Because even creating the vaccines were going to take a while. So how can you come out and say that this thing is the cure?
You must identify what is in that thing that is curing. That's what most of the drugs we take, that's why they found them out. Like the anti-malaria drugs, they are from plants. They identify the ingredient. I can now reproduce that in the lab. You know, can we use modern technology to make sure to identify and produce it? And you know, it becomes a big business.
Please kindly educate us on random blood sugar. I ran a test recently after food and the result was 8.00 and the doctor said it was okay. May I know the range? Thanks. Elder Opoada, send that in.
Okay. Most times we want to work with a fasting blood glucose. That's after an overnight fast. Take your blood sample. But we know that from research that after about 2 hours, your blood sugar level should come down close to what it was at the fasting level if you are normal. In this, that's your non-diabetic. So let's say if we cannot test, do the fasting test, we cannot take the blood after about 2 hours of your last meal and test, because we hope that it will be closer to what the fasting level is. The generally fasting level we use in the hospital here is 3.3 to 5.5 millimoles. And the random glucose level is actually supposed to be closer to that. So sometimes, even if you get about 7 millimoles to 8, you still leave it, assume that it is not so alarming, but there's need to do a fasting level.
Okay.
And, you know, before we also used to do what we call glucose tolerance test over a period. But now you can, just to minimize the inconveniences, take a random sample after 2 hours to see what it is like. So if it's going too high, you know that it's a warning sign that you need to go and check and confirm what the level is.
Divine is asking, good day all in the studio. Can drinking ginger water and onion regularly reduce the risk of diabetes? I think both Divine, you know, and the other person.
Yes, people have said so much about the health benefits of ginger, garlic, and all this. Yes, if you take them, good and fine. But you to say that is a cure for diabetes, that I will say again that I'm not going to recommend that to anybody.
Unfortunately, we are pressed for time at the moment. Thank you so much, Dr. Hamilton, for your time as always. Final words from you as we round off.
Thank you so much again for providing this opportunity to interact with persons, and thank all those who have responded for enabling me to learn more, because so find a way I'm going to do more research about ginger, garlic, cola,
bitter leaf
to see how that will add value to our knowledge. Thank you so much.